Tom Gerhart and Dan Provost are the guys behind Studio Neat. On this show, we discuss entrepreneurship, product design, and all of the ups and downs that come with running a small business. I'm Mike Hurley, and this is Thoroughly Considered. Welcome, Relay FM members, to your second Thoroughly Considered member special. Last year's special was a great success because we unveiled a product on our member special that Studio Neat were thinking about and working on, which ended up becoming a very, very, very successful Kickstarter campaign for them, as you know if you listen to Thoroughly Considered, which is the Mark One, which is a pen, which is currently in production. If you listen to our show, there's lots of interesting stuff going on there, but it seems like things are going swimmingly. So when Dan and Tom said to me, oh, I would like to do another member special this year, I was very intrigued because my hope would be that we have some kind of secret to talk about today. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want me to have watched a movie or something. But I'm very keen to know, Dan, are we doing the thing that makes you most uncomfortable in the world and talking about an unreleased product?
We're doing it.
Oh, okay. What have we got this time?
Well, so this one is a little bit different because, for a lot of reasons. One is we're not actually necessarily, it's super early. Okay, so just to set the scene, you mentioned we talked about the Mark One. So that was a year ago, right? So that was August last year. And we were thinking we were probably going to launch it before the end of the year, but we ended up kind of redesigning some things and pushing it, and it launched in early the next year.
That was a product in pretty severe pre-production. I think I'd already had my first prototype at that point.
Yeah, so we had prototypes. We'd gone through many revisions, the whole design process. And so we thought we were close to being done, and like I said, we kind of redesigned things. But we were... You know, it was like a product we were committed to, and it was just kind of a matter of time working out all the last details before we could launch it. This thing is so early in the design process that there's just like a flat out chance that we might not even make it. Like we might decide it's so early that it could very well be that it's like, oh, this actually isn't a product we want to make. Okay. We're basically in the like idea generation sketching phase, so we haven't even made a prototype yet.
To stress the teasing out even further, because you know, I think it's fun to just dangle people along. If it's so early, why are we talking about it?
Because we needed something to talk about, right?
Well, okay. No, I think it's interesting because I think it will take longer. We both expect this will be like a longer process for like product development. So for some reason, it feels like it's fun to talk about it now. We're making a backpack is what we're making.
Okay.
I don't want to keep stringing people along. Yeah. Or we think we're going to make a backpack at least.
You're exploring the avenues of backpack creation.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think we're further along than Dan. I don't know. I think we're pretty far along. But not only are we making a backpack, which is like a, you know, a bigger, more complex, more expensive thing, but we're also doing it in a collaboration sort of way, which is
okay,
new and fun for us.
What's that all about?
So we have a good friend, a mutual friend, Chase Reeves, who is someone we met and became friends with at the original XOXO festival in Portland several years ago. And he has, over the years, become somewhat of a bag connoisseur, a bag guru. So he has now a successful YouTube channel where he just reviews bags, and he has these like 30-minute videos.
They are the most entertaining 30-minute bag videos you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, he's really found his shtick because it was like he was made to do this type of thing. But he's, just by virtue of reviewing all those bags and getting all those bags from different people to review, he has an incredible library of bags that we could just like look at and discover, you know, fabrication techniques and how different companies approach how to do bags in different ways. And then just like his you know, encyclopedic knowledge of, you know, what he's seen in the market so far. So he is kind of acting, I don't know how to define his relationship with us, kind of like a consultant or something, where he's not really steering the design in any way. It's more of just like a sounding board for us. And then, like I said, to all of the, for like, hey, we have this idea, like, have any bags done that type of thing? It's like, oh yeah, you right. should look at this bag and this bag. Like, so it's been really useful so far.
This does sound a little similar to how me and Brad helped with the Pano book and the Mark One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It is similar. It's like, it's nice because it's really awesome in both cases where, you know, we don't have like a real depth of history of knowledge with some of these things. And so it's really nice to have someone who does, who we can just be like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Because it helps us kind of, we might, you know, be missing something or not be thinking about something, or just like not have, you know, a feel or an eye for something. And so, you know, in the context of the pins, you know, that's, it's like nice from a, I think like a context point of view, like, oh, there's other pins that do this, or that, you know, how this feels and that kind of thing. With the backpack, it's interesting because it's even another like level of complexity, because there's both the like, oh, you know, other bags do this, or, you know, here's materials. But then there's this whole other like complex world of like how people use their bags and like, you know, storage strategies and like zipper compartments and all this stuff. And so it just feels like this huge, huge amount of decisions that need to be made. So I think with Chase, it's going to be really nice kind of working with him from the get-go, and yeah, like being able to kind of really get down in the weeds yeah. with all that. So yeah, I mean, I think in this case, it's a little bit, it is like more of a formal relationship in terms of the like collaboration. Mm-hmm. So that will also be something like new. So yeah, I don't know. Like Dan mentioned, it was all very early, but it kind of all started because, we like bags. It's fun to think about bags. They can be like really interesting and fun. It's like, it's like fashion and very like, you can be very geeky about the functional and like thoughtful aspects of it. So it feels like a good fit for us in terms of kind of like the kind of problem we're good at solving. But you know, I think we would have stayed away from this if we didn't have Chase on board, just because it just would seem like such a large, like a huge problem.
A huge mountain to climb, really.
Yeah, a huge mountain to climb. And so having, like, for instance, so I was actually stayed with Chase for a couple days, a couple months ago. And, you know, we just sat down and, like, looked at, like, you know, he pulled bags. We had, like, talked about, Dan, him and I had, like, talked about this bag some. But then he, like, pulled a bunch of bags that he thought, you know, would maybe be interesting from, like, a material or organization strategy or construction point of view. And just being able to sit down and like really kind of study, you know, 50 something bags, it really helps kind of get your hand around like what the world of these bags is like and what are material options and construction techniques and stuff. So it kind of really it was like having just like a really awesome consultant, basically. So that was a really great head start. And so since then, I think we've kind of somewhat triangulated, you know, at least what the rough idea or like story and like point of the bag is. And there's a lot of work that we have to do in terms of, you know, how it works and like what exactly the, like how people use it and being thoughtful about that stuff. But I feel like we have a pretty good, at least sense for in like the, you know, the two liner is like the kind of just the 50,000 foot description of the thing.
There are many different types of bags. What type of bag would you like to make?
Yeah, so the category that this bag would fit in, well, A, it's a backpack, which we've mentioned. It's not a messenger bag or anything. The size class we're aiming for is kind of the daily carry size. So it's not like a one bag travel bag, which are kind of like the bigger, like the new Peak Design travel bag that currently has a Kickstarter going. Like that's a huge bag, so not that big. The way I'm thinking of it is like somewhere in the kind of 20 liter range, something that you could use every day, like bring to the office, and it wouldn't feel too large, but it's kind of large enough to hold the things you need. And the way I kind of think about it is like what I really want a great bag for is a carry-on bag to bring on a plane that can fit under the seat in front of me, and it's like, and I use it with a roller suitcase. So again, it's not the only bag I'm bringing, but it's like kind of appropriately sized for that. So daily carry, I think, is like the category that that type of bag would fit into.
What do you feel like you can bring to this that doesn't already exist?
I guess the same reason we made a pen is there's, you know, there's of course thousands of pens already out there, but we, you know, as designers think we have a certain point of view and, you know, a certain aesthetic that we can get, we can kind of convince enough people that they, you know, find that interesting as well. So I don't know.
To me, the thing where I feel like we can really provide some like unique value or like somewhat unique value is I think we could straddle the line between a bag that, you know, if you're 10 feet away from it or even 5 feet away from it, looks like a really fashionable like streetwear bag that is nice and, you know, simple and just kind of like an approachable, like nice bag that looks kind of designy but not overly fancy. But hiding underneath that kind of simple exterior is like a very functional technical bag. And from like what I have mostly observed, like in the like bag market, is you either have something that's like very technical looking and has like lots of straps and pockets and you can, it feels like a technical bag when you like look at it. Or there's these bags that are like very nice looking, but they're then very simple. They're not like geeky techie. And I feel like we, or at least we're going to try to aim to like get in between those somewhere where it feel, the bag feels like a fashionable, designy, simple bag, but there's a lot of hidden, or not even hidden, but it's just, there's a lot of kind of technical organization, thoughtfulness behind it, kind of bridging that gap. And I don't think there's very many bags out there that are exactly doing that, or at least into what I imagine it could be. So that in my mind is kind of where we can provide some value. I think it makes perfect sense for us. Like, you know, a lot of our customers are kind of like Apple, like it's like tech designy people. And that's kind of exactly what it is. It's like someone who wants a technical bag that has a lot of bells and whistles in terms of like being able to organize or do certain things, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like an EDC like military bag or something. So that's where I imagine it going. And I think we're all kind of on the same page with that, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Mm-hmm. I feel like right now you mentioned Peak Design. They seem to be a bit of a darling in this space because they are probably doing the thing that you're trying to do, or at least closest to it, right? Yep. They are making something that looks good but is absolutely bursting with little details and features. And a lot of them seem to be pretty unique to them, like fastenings that they've created or systems that they've created, which seem quite unique. And that's one of the reasons that people are interested. Do you think that this uniqueness is something that you would eventually be able to arrive at? Or are you not putting effort into particularly trying to invent something that doesn't already exist?
Good question. I think we always hope that we can use off-the-shelf components, but it almost never turns out to be the case. Like, yeah. I think like when we were making the pen, you know, our initial thought was like, oh, okay, awesome. There's this awesome cartridge we want to build a pen around. And then we're like, oh, great. We can just use this off-the-shelf mechanism. It's pretty awesome. And we'll just use the off-the-shelf mechanism and the off-the-shelf cartridge. And it's going to be real easy to make this little shell. And eventually we got around to, no, we have to make our own custom mechanism. And so I'm going to guess that we'll end up doing that some for sure. I don't know if we'll do it to the level that Peak does, but maybe. I think it's hard to know exactly, but I we're not going to make our own zippers. That's a dumb thing to do.
I don't think anyone really does that though, right?
No, YKK like owns like literally everything. So you know, it's just like how much of that, right? I don't think we're going to be like making a brand new material, or, and I don't know if anyone actually does that either. But yeah, I think there'll probably be some inventive use of materials. And I think that might happen because none of us have made a bag before. And so we're not entrenched in like, oh, these are the materials you use. Like, this is the palette. We're kind of more open-minded. So we might have some, you know, interesting material use maybe. But yeah, in terms of closures, I mean, the cool thing is we're not afraid to make hard goods, right? Like, we're not afraid to make some piece of metal or some thing because we're really used to doing that. The place where we are novices, right, is like the soft goods area. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we had some kind of some custom things going on, you know, magnets or like who knows. I wouldn't say that's like a goal or anything. It's really just like, does the design warrant something different, or can we, you know, just pull something off the shelf?
So do you have like sketches? Like how far, I'm trying to understand, like how far are you?
Yeah, we can, should we share a sketch with you?
Yeah.
Share one with me, yes. I mean, it's up to you whether you want to share it with our listeners.
No, heavens no.
Oh God, then no.
Here, Dan, I got this. I'll send this crazy thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what we have here.
So the problem with this sketch is it's more schematic in terms of like feature, like here are the features and pockets and kind of general organization of things, mm-hmm. but it's not style. Like, we haven't figured out styling or like shape exactly. It's more like, these is where we want pockets to go. This is how the feature works or whatever.
So should I explain kind of like the main yeah. distinguishing feature?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the... how best to describe this? So I do the Peak Design Everyday Backpack. I do have that backpack. It's what I use when I travel. And for the most part, I like it. Like, I think it's a good bag. I think it's rightly kind of critically acclaimed. And so there were some ideas with it that I thought were really neat and interesting, but there are also a lot of things that I just didn't like about the bag, or I thought made it a little kind of awkward or clumsy to use. So, but what kind of inspired the direction we're going in is I like this idea of essentially raising the floor of the main cavity and creating a separate compartment at the bottom of the bag. So you can kind of do that with the Peak Design bag via their like inserts that you can kind of customize and move. But one problem that I've always had with backpacks in general is like, you have this main compartment and it's just a really deep cavity that you're kind of just like chucking stuff into. So the idea is to, you know, subdivide that cavity. So there's a bottom compartment and then the main compartment, which is above that, and then give the user side access to that bottom compartment so that you have the backpack on your, you know, shoulders and you take it off one shoulder and flip it around and you have access to that compartment by like kind of holding the bag sideways, right. Similar to what you can do with the Peak Design bag, except you're not unzipping the entire side. It's just the compartment. So the way I'm probably going to use that is quick access to a camera, which I think is how one of the primary uses, I think. Because having a nice camera is really awesome, but it becomes an impediment to using it if it's you're not easy to get to it. Like, if it's not nearly as easy to get to as your phone, then you'll be not encouraged to use it. So that is kind of the main use case that I was thinking of when we started going down this direction. But then we realized like, oh, this is just going to be like a really great compartment for tons of things. Like, you could like roll up a sweater and put it in there, or you could put like shoes in there if you're going to the gym, or you could even put like your lunch or something in there. Like, there's the charging brick for your laptop or whatever. Like, we realize there's like tons of uses beyond a camera that would just like make it really nice to have this quick access side pocket. And so that's kind of like the kind of main premise, I guess, of the bag. And then we have these other things like, we want to do these like pouches that are kind of designed to fit in the bag and for kind of organizing, you know, all your like tech stuff or cables or whatever, like that becomes a part of the story. So, and then, you know, potentially inserts or packing cubes that kind of like are designed specifically for the bag and kind of fit into that main cavity. Like there's tons of like, that are basically just ideas at this point that we haven't fleshed out, but that's kind of the overall kind of broad strokes of what this bag is.
Okay.
I think the initial idea we had was we wanted it to look and have a classic like backpack silhouette. Like, oh, there's like a classic school backpack, but it was like, you know, kind of like streetwear, like fashionable and very like technical in what you could do with it. So like if you're, you know, if you see this thing on someone, you would think, oh, that's like, hey, that's someone's like someone just has a backpack on, like a pretty like normal like backpack. It's got like a strap at the top and it's got like maybe like a rounded top, like a classic JanSport backpack kind of silhouette. But kind of hiding there is some, you know, like nice materials, like really nice materials and some like technical features. So that's kind of from a like a silhouette design point of view, that's kind of where we're going. And then, yes, this kind of under bottom compartment is kind of what's driving the kind of functional side of things. And, you know, so basically it can fit like it can fit a 15 inch like laptop. It's got this bottom compartment where you can put, you know, like something like you could put like two Chipotle burritos in there. Not that you would, but that's like the size of it. It's like, you know, it's like a something like a little bit bigger than a brick kind of thing that goes along the whole bottom. And then you can put a water bottle on either side of the bag. And then other than that, there's kind of just a couple little like kind of features that make it fancy. But so far, that's kind of where we arrived. One of the things that Dan mentioned is this kind of like tech pouch that you take out to have all your cables and stuff in. Yep. And that came from something that Chase talks about a lot, which is his little always need you, never want to see you bag thing. And he has this little pouch that he always has packed that has like, you know, cables and like aspirin and like thing, like just little things that you need. Like you just always need this little stuff. And instead of him having to repack that every time or have it like dispersed within a bag, he just always has this little pouch that he can slide into any bag he's using at the time. And we both really love that idea. And so we wanted to take that idea a step further and kind of design a couple pouches or little pack cubes that do that same sort of thing so that you can remove a lot of the packing and organization complexity from the bag itself, but into something that you can take in and out, because then we can customize it and really kind of bring that all that complexity into one place instead of like having all these pockets over the bag. I mean, like one thing that I noticed from looking at a lot of bags is when a bag has so many pockets and so many ways you can organize it, it's kind of overwhelming. It feels like you have to spend like a week thinking about how to pack your bag and like learning it or whatever. And it just feels like a lot of overhead to kind of really get use out of the bag. And so I think we want to make something that has a lot of kind of like functionality and is very useful, but isn't like gratuitous and is pretty, it's like pretty straightforward in how you would use it. So it doesn't take a lot of thought to kind of arrive at something that feels like it's really utilizing the bag efficiently. So that's kind of the philosophy, I think, in terms of like how we're approaching the design of it.
All of these things sound interesting, right? But it is at that point where it's like it's really difficult to judge it, right?
Exactly.
Because there's kind of nothing. But, you know, it's like this is similar to the Mark One for me, where it's like all of the things that you've mentioned are things that I've seen done in some way somewhere else, but it's got your twist on it. Right? You know what I mean? Like the idea of, like you mentioned, like the Peak Design, right? Because it has these side access pockets. And on the Tom Bin Synapse bag, they have like a big pocket right at the very bottom, which unzips from the front.
Exactly.
And you can put stuff into it. But this is like a mix between the two. And then it's like, well, why would you do that? Like, what are the interesting things that you can do with that? So that's the key of it all, right? And really the answers to all of those questions, or like how you get to those end products, is design sensibility. And that's what you guys seem to have, right? So it's like you, just at this basic level of what we're talking about, you can go, okay, that sounds interesting, but it is the execution that makes it desirable.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I could, in a couple of days, make a prototype of this bag, and it would be like, fine. It would be like, oh, okay, here's a bag. Like, it's cool. But the thing that's going to happen, and why we think this process is going to take so long, is because, well, there's like two phases of it. A, there's one phase of like, okay, let's like nail the pockets, the fit, the functionality, like the kind of shape and location of things. And then there's a whole nother step of like materiality, like materials, finish of materials, construction. And both of those things are going to take forever, we think. Like, because just, I mean, you know, the way we like think about simple decisions, you know, it will be like, oh, I could just see us making like literally 100 bag prototypes, because it's like, oh, well, we want to move this pocket a little bit and see how that feels, or do this and that. And so it's going to take, I think, a really long time to, like, even if, like, we have these sketches here that kind of describe all that stuff I just talked about, like where pockets are and like how they work. But I could see, even if we didn't change any of that and we were just deciding like the specifics about all of those, it will take, you know, a year or more easily. So that's what's going to be really interesting about this process is, you know, really kind of nailing down, at least for the three of us, what we want those things to be. And so, yeah, I don't know, it just feels like a very big, it just feels like a very big project. But the cool thing is we can like make the prototypes ourselves. So that is a huge help.
Do you have the skills to make a bag, Tom?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, is that a thing you can also do? I mean, I just don't know how yeah. far your vast, vast skill set like extends. Like, I didn't know that like soft material was a thing that you were versed in.
Well, I know how to use a sewing machine. I'm not awesome at it, but I can like get it done. You know, I'm not going to be sitting there.
You could build a prototype, right? Yeah. Like with just basic ability. I just didn't know that was a thing that you also need. It's just a jack of all trades.
Well, it's just because of my hook or by crook. You know, it's just like, well, let's just do it. You know, I mean, it's not going to be pretty necessarily. You know, until we learn.
I have a funny side tangent, by the way, regarding sewing machines. My wife has been sewing a thing for our house recently using her sewing machine, and it made me realize, A, how kind of incredible sewing machines are, and if they were released today, like if they didn't exist prior, or like that a consumer could buy and you bought one today, I think people would flip out. Like, it would be the same level as like a 3D printer or like a CNC desktop thing, where it's like, wait, you mean I can make my own clothes?
Like, if you imagine that there was something that could make clothes, but only big companies could own it, right? Like the manufacturing process or whatever, and then you get this little thing that you can bring to your home, and it's like buying your own 3D printer, right? Like that weird thing we were talking about a few weeks ago that does that like strange process that you have.
Yeah, but can you imagine just like all the hipsters that would like buy raw denim and then like make their own like custom jeans and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
I think they exist. I think they're there.
I mean, I'm sure some people do that, but I think it would be like a trend for a while, because it would be like so exciting, like wow, like bespoke, like custom fitting clothes is amazing. It turns out you could be doing that for decades, but since it's like not new,
you mean
exciting,
150 years,
well yeah, that's decades, 15 decades.
That's what I meant, and I knew what I meant.
And it's just kind of funny that it's like this incredible technology that is just like not exciting because it's been around so long. It's like underappreciated.
Well, so the interesting thing about sewing, and like I'm guessing like bag manufacturer in general, is and we've been exposed to this a little bit because, you know, we've made a couple soft goods, but you know, when it comes down to it, it's just people sitting at machines, like literally sewing machines, like sewing these pieces together. And the way the fabric is cut out is usually there's like a template that they slap down on a big thick stack of fabric, and they cut it out with this kind of like saw machine that like cuts out the pieces. So it's cool because, like Dan was saying, like sewing technology is like very, very mature. And so, you know, we could spend $500 on a sewing machine and get a very, very high quality sewing machine that is like very similar to what would be used in a commercial context. So, you know, there is definitely some skill in terms of like being able to sew cleanly and straight and like do some of these things, but it is very within reach in terms of mirroring what the manufacturing process is and what we would be doing to prototype. Whereas almost anything else we make, like it is, we cannot mirror it. Like injection molded plastic, like, you know, no way. So this is a situation where the prototypes, you know, would be very, very, very close, if not like identical to what we would be making, like final prototypes, like, you know, prototype that we've like really fussed over. So that, like, to me, that feels like really good in terms of a path to product development. Like it's all within reach. So yeah, it's really just more about, getting the material sourced and like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it feels pretty good. I mean, to me, when I think about sewing, like sewing machines and sewing, like to me, it's just like, it's like knowing how to weld or knowing how to like do anything with like wood or metal. It's just like another way to manipulate materials. So yeah, sewing is, it's like critical. If you're like producing anything, like, I don't know, I feel like you should know how to sew.
This is so early to ask a question like this, and I almost feel silly asking it, but do you have any idea on like what you would charge for something like this?
I think we have like ballparks, like order of magnitude type ballparks. When you look at the like nice, like designed bag, you know, category, it's like there's a lot of things that are, you know, 150, $200, $250. And so I think we would be probably somewhere in there. It, you know, obviously we have no idea because there's so many things that influence that. But, you know, it's going to, just knowing us and knowing that we'll have like nice materials and have like thoughtful design and all this stuff, it's likely will be in the same ballpark as like those bags, because that's like what a nice bag it costs typically. So I think that's probably where we'll end up. I mean, obviously we'd want to make it like as cheap as we can, but usually bags that are like on the lower, like under $100, like there's a lot of compromises that are made, like with materiality and like, you know, construction and stuff. And so that's kind of where we think it will be, right, Dan?
yeah, I would be shocked if it ends up being less than $200. I think it's going to be kind of in the $200 to $300 range. Like you said, like we're not really interested in making a cheap bag. Like we want to build something that's really robust, that's going to last people years and years. And well, just
an inexpensive bag. An inexpensive bag.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the interesting thing about all that is like, we have never, you know, had a product that is, you know, I mean, I think our most expensive thing we've ever sold is the Neat Ice Kit double kit. And that was like $80. And so we've never had anything in it near that price. And so that will be an interesting, like an interesting thing, you know, like if we did a, you know, if we do a Kickstarter, which we would definitely do a Kickstarter for this, you know, having a larger goal, maybe, I don't know, but definitely probably like, you know, a potential to raise, you know, more money on Kickstarter. So it I don't know, it'll just be really interesting to kind of have this like more expensive thing in the lineup and see what that's like. Because it, you know, it changes. I imagine you would start finding yourself writing like several $100,000 checks to manufacturers rather than like tens of thousands of dollar checks to manufacturers. So I bet that feels like different. But that feels like a different thing. So that will be interesting to see kind of how that plays out. And hey, if we even have the customers for it, you know, who knows?
Does a $200 product make you feel nervous?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make me nervous.
We already make relatively expensive things. Like, you know, we have a more expensive than average notebook. We have a more expensive than average pen. Okay. We have more
that makes sense.
Expensive than average, like, tripod mount thing, right? So I think, you know, our customers are, they're not ultra price sensitive, or else they wouldn't be buying from us. So, you know, it'll be reasonable. We're not making like a luxury good. It will be like reasonable. Like, we hope that it would feel like it would have value. Like, if you understand the product and you value it, then it doesn't seem ridiculously priced, but it's not the cheapest thing, certainly.
So when I buy this?
probably next week. You know, we'll just
I want one of the Tom originals.
That's right.
I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that, like, 2020 is probably the earliest. Like, I don't see this coming out in 2019. That would be quite aggressive. Maybe something will change, and maybe we'll reprioritize it, because we have 2 to 3 products kind of lined up right now that would come out before this bag. So I suppose we could shuffle things around if we really wanted to prioritize it, but we are purposefully, like Tom said, giving ourselves the time to like live with prototypes and really kind of make those tweaks. And you kind of can't fast track that. You have to live with it for a while. You have to use it in real scenarios to understand what's working and what isn't. So we're kind of giving ourselves this runway on purpose so that we can improve the design. So yeah, I think 2020 is probably like what we're looking at right now. So sit tight, I guess.
So we can all wait until 2024 when you reinvent the zipper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no dice. But it will be interesting now that we've like already started talking about this, how that might change, you know, how we talk about it going forward, or, you know, because it'd be fun to check in a while, well, you know.
You may feel that way. Let's see how Dan feels about that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so also just want to mention, same deal as last year. It's worked really well with doing the kind of Mark 1 tease. But since this is kind of like a private members only thing, we'd very much appreciate it to not kind of publicly talk about don't ruin it.
We give you this for funsies. You get the secrets, don't ruin it, don't tell anyone. Yeah. This is our secret.
Yeah, you could email us though. Yeah. If you have things to say, you can totally
please do
slide into our DMs.
Thank you so much for being a Real AFM member. We thoroughly appreciate your support. So thank you so much for doing that, and I hope that you have enjoyed this special episode. If you have enjoyed this and you've maybe never listened to Thoroughly Considered before, you should give the show a shot. I think you'll enjoy it because you've gotten this far. Go to relay.fm/TC and you can catch up on previous episodes of the show. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.